clips. And one more chula from the Shaded Lady.
Yes, sir. Okay, the Siyata Deshmaya, what we're doing, we're in the middle of Simration on Gimel, continuing on with the halachos of Shehiya. And what we're going to do today is learn the definition of Garuf Vekatum, starting from the Rishonim all the way through the appropriate Yunim, the Siyata Deshmaya in the Poskim, and continue to familiarize with ourselves with the concepts. I had on the original set of Marmakomos that we would get to Achzara and Hanach Lechatchila, but as I was preparing and speaking with the guys and learning, I realized that this is in of itself is a beautiful sugya, and there's no mitzvah to overload, and it also continues to serve as a beautiful introduction to becoming familiar to the halachas of Shia and Achzara. Let's begin with the Rambams. The Rambam is going to continue to introduce us, familiarize us, and also add edification as well to our understanding of the issues that come up placing food on Erev Shabbos and Shabbos on the oven. In your booklet, we're going to be using the booklet a lot today. In your booklet, in Perek Gimel Halacha Beis, right in the middle of that halacha, you could get the sense of what the Rambam is discussing in Perek Gimel, and that is the Rambam is paskening, like as we referred to last week, there's a machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, whether you're allowed to begin malacha on Erev Shabbos or not, and we follow the opinion of Beis Hillel that one is allowed to. And so therefore the Rambam says in the old edition of the Rambam, it's the first line in the middle of Perek Gimel Halacha Beis, Umalikines haner oas hamedur mi be'erev, hidolekes ho'olekes kol Shabbos kula. There's no problem to light candles on Erev Shabbos. Then the Rambam introduces us, now that we're talking about the halachas of Shabbos, the Rambam now introduces us to many different shailos that come up with putting on things on the fire on Erev Shabbos, and eventually he begins to discuss the halachos of Hachzar. So the beautiful setup of the Rambam, how he gives us these halachos so clearly, so that we continue to make sure we have clear the basic concepts, as well as there are some important diyukim that we'll make as we go along the Rambam. So it says the Rambam in Halacha Gimel, Minichin Kedera Gabe Eish, O basar bitanur, o agavi cholim, vehemes fashion v'olchon kol Shabbos, v'olchon also b'Shabbos. Based on the above, there's no problem of setting up something that's going to cook on Shabbos itself. V'yesh b'davar zeh dvarim shein asurim. But now we have Perek Kira. Rav Mati had a nice pshat in the Seder HaPrakim, why Kira is the third Perek and Bamet Tam the fourth. The Seder HaPrakim going according to the Seder of the days. So the Rambam says, now we have Perek Kira. We just got through in Bamet Madlikin that said that halacha is, there's no problem, according to Beis Hillel, to set up something that's going to be done in Erev Shabbos. But you do have to be careful of certain things. Notice how the Rambam presents the problem. Gzer Hashem Yechate B'Gacholim B'Shabbos. You can't put food on the fire before Shabbos. We're afraid you're going to come to stoke them. Kate seconds around Malacha Dal. Tavshul shel bishul kol tzarcho, lechanet shel huchmul kol tzarcho, or tavshul shel bishul kol tzarcho, v'chol zman shem mitzdamik v'yafalo, ein mashin osa al gabi ha'ish b'shabbos. That's what we saw last week in the Mechaber. Afal pi shunach lebod yom, gzera shem yichati b'achon m'shabbos, kedei lehashem bishulo, kedei letzomko. So the Rambam paskens l'chumra and says that one is not allowed to put the food on the fire without doing something. Lefichach, in Garaf HaEsh, if he removes the fire, O Shekisa Eish HaKira, the Efer O Ben Uras Pishton Hadaka, or he covers the fire with dirt, O Sha'amu Adachalim, or the coals have already cooled, Sharehen Kimchusos Be'efer, then it's considered as if it's covered with dirt, O Shesikua. Then the Rambam says that if it's not something that is a lasting fire, in the sense that you can't stoke them, that's shisiku bekasho bekvavo begoli behema, if it's been heated up with straw, share ein sham gocholim baros, then the coals aren't going to heat up with a stoking, hareza mutar l'shos aleha, he's allowed to do shihia on it. Shaharei, okay, so the Rambam is about to tell us why this is motor. Sharei hisiach daitoi mizah tavshil. Because he's mesiach das from this tavshil, ve'en gozrin shemichata be'esh. By doing grufa and by doing ktuma, the Rambam says that you're removing your mindset from the tavshil. And therefore, we're not going to be concerned that he's going to be mechata the Eish. In other words, the fact that he shows he wants it cooled down and not cooled up, so then we're not afraid he's going to come to stoke the coals. Continues the Rambam halacha, hey, b'medvar mamurim b'kira shava l'muat. This halacha, this is a Mishnah that we have, the next Mishnah in the Perek, the Mishnah of Tanur, that this halacha that we just learned that's going to be mutter, says the Mishnah on Lamiches and Mebeis, b'medvar mamurim b'kira shava l'muat, aval Tanur, afal pi shegaraf ha'esh, okisa be'efer, oshisiku b'kashu gvava, ein mashin b'socha. But when it comes to a Tanur, then you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to leave the food inside, on top, even next to it. Says the Rambam, why? Hoel, skipping a line, vehevolo cham biyoser, since the heat is very strong, eino misiach taito. He's not going to be misiach das, even if you're going to do garuf v'katum. V'choshim shem yichata b'zuhayei shamahuta, where choshim shem he's going to come to stoke those coals. Okay. So the Rambam in Perek Hey, Perek Gimel, excuse me, all the way through Halacha Hey, as well as Halacha Vav, is going to be important as well. The Rambam is telling us the basic halachos. Let's see Vav as well. V'lama asru lishos betanur, afal pisha garif. But the Rambam then says, wait a second, if garif means to remove the coals, so then why is it prohibited? What's going to be the problem? Mipnei shahagoref ein garif el rova esh v'atzma. V'yevshad l'grof kola esh. So when it comes to kira, so then that's going to be enough if you get most of the coals. However, when it comes to tanur, it's impossible to remove all the coals. Actually, nishar nitzot zachas, to the point that there's no spark that's going to be left. We're afraid he's going to come to stoke that coal. Okay, a beautiful summary from the Rambam. We're going to come back and be medayik a few words in the Rambam himself. There is a machlokis rishonim, both in what the words grufa means, as well as what the words ktuma means, and that's going to take us to the halacha lemaisa of what a blef is. In regards to the definition of the word garuf, to remove, now this is not going to be as much halacha lemaisa, because generally what do? When we put down a blef, what we're doing is ktuma. It's like putting on the afer on top of the fire. But nevertheless, there is a important machlokis rishonim. If you take a look on the next page, I put it on the Maror Mekomos in the Ran. You have that in the cover sheet as well, but I decided to do it through the eyes of the Rajba. The Rajba, it's actually more, the Rajba is less verbose, and the Rajba has everything in two neat paragraphs. So the Rajba over here says as follows, Umikol makom le'inyan garuf. Why he says umikol makom, we'll see shortly. Nira me'yushalmi. This Rajba is on Lam Vav and Beis Dir Maslad Shigrof. In the new edition, it's right on top of the second column. Nira mi Yerushalmi, it appears from the Yerushalmi, Shutzarach Ligrof Ligamri Achlo Lishar Bo Eish Klau. That grufa means that you have to remove all of the coals entirely. So this is a big machlokis rishonim. In the definition of grufa, if anybody wants me to write on the board, please let me know. If the definition of grufa, does that mean you have to remove all the coals? Or do you have to remove just some of the coals? So the Yerushalmi, it says to be gorev kol agacholim. You have to remove all the coals. So then, if that's so, asks the Rajba a very basic question. V'im tomar, kivan shu tzarech ligrof legamri. If you're going to say that you need to remove all the coals, mipnei ma'as rabitanar goruf. If that would be so then why is it that you need to remove... why is it aser when it comes to a tanur? If you've removed all the coals, so then there shouldn't be any chshash of shem yichata begacholim, and there's both in a kira as well as a tanur. What did we learn from the Rambam spelling out the two mishnayos? That we're going to be more machmer on a tanur because there's greater hevel. By taking out the coals, that is not going to be enough. What do you mean? What type of chshash is there once you've taken out all the coals? If you hold like the majority of Rishonim, if you take a look in the underline in the second column, like the Balamor and many others who say that grufa means that you just have to remove some of the coals, so then I understand. By kira, it's enough to remove some of the coals, and by tanur, it's not enough. However, if you have to remove all the coals, So then in such a case, wachshash is there when it comes to tanur. So that's why we have our first diuk in the Rambam. Says the Rashba, mi perish a Rambam, mipnei she'iev she'shelo yishoy bo nitzot zechad, u'mimenu roi lachtos ulohasik. So the Rambam is absolutely meduya. The Rambam says that when it comes to grufa, garaf ha'esh, sounds like you're being goref the entire fire. So the Rambam himself asks in Halach Avav, so then what's the problem? Lishos bitanur. Why should it be also to be shoeh bitanur? So the Rambam says, well, even if you're goref everything, there's still going to be one nitzotz, and with that one nitzotz, we're choshesh, that you're going to come to be mechata. He then quotes, the Rashba then quotes, that the Baal HaMor disagrees. You see that underlined. And the Baal HaMor says, no, this question is too strong. He doesn't like the Rambam's Ukimta that there's going to be a Nitzotz Echad. And therefore, says the Baal HaMor, that it must be that Grufa doesn't mean that you have to be Goref all the coals. As long as you push them to the side, then that is going to be enough. That explains the Halacha in regards to Tanur. When it comes to Tanur, you've only pushed some of it aside. You've only gotten rid of some of it. You haven't gotten rid of all of it. And therefore, when it comes to Tanur, we're going to be more machmer. As you can see, the Rashba goes on, and he prefers the Shita of the Rambam, but there are many others who learn like the Baal HaMor. The Ran himself that I gave you on the Maror Mekomos goes like the Baal HaMor. Okay, so this is one machlokis in terms of what is the definition of grufa. Now, in regards to the definition of ktuma, how do we define the words garuf v'katum? What does katum mean? So here, the Rashba, again, is quite helpful. The Rashba in the same Dibur HaMaskil Achi Yigrof, again, on the underline, the Rashba tells us the following. Kivan shekitem ktsas. The Rashba went out of order. The Rashba first described ktuma, and then he described grufa. We follow the order of the Mishnah. We first define grufa, and then we'll define ktuma. Says the Rashba, kivan shekotam ktsas. Since you've put a little bit of afer on top, muchacha milsa shehu misyayesh mimenu. He's showing that he's misyayesh, that he's not interested. Ve'ena rotze b'chitui. In other words, he wants to cool it down, not to heat it up. And that will be a heker for him later on. He says, oh yeah, on Erev Shabbos, I reminded myself, I'm not allowed to heat this up. So even if he puts, the Lashon of the Rashba was, katam ktsas, that is going to be enough. So that's how the Rashba explains the halacha of ketumah. Take a look again in the Lashon HaRambam. This fits in beautifully with what we had seen in the Rambam. The Rambam in Perek Gimel Halacha Dalit explained what is the role of both grufa and ktuma. Zokta Heilige Rambam, Sharehi Siach Daito Mizah Tavshil. He shows that he's Mesiach Das. So says the Rashba, you don't need to do a full dramatic ktuma. You don't need to do a full ktuma. All you need to do is do a ktuma that shows that you're going away from chitu gecholim. You're going away from wanting to make it hotter. By showing that you want to cool it down, by putting some afer, that is going to be enough. There is a Rashi, a very difficult Rashi, that I don't know if in Halacha Shir we'll be able to plumb the depths of the Rashi. The Rashi on the Mishnah, Lamed Vav Lamed Beis, Rashi doesn't seem to be like this. It's how Ramosha understands, and many others, that Rashi said, oh, achiitin ether. Rashi says, al gabe gacholim, lechasosam ulitsaninam. Rashi says, beferish, that the ether is there, lechasosam ulitsaninam. So many point out that this formulation of Rashi is worlds apart than the formulation of the Rashba. According to Rashi, the goal is to have it cool down. Now, why do I say this Rashi is very complicated? This is in brackets. This is like, as I joke around, it's usher to talk about halacha shir for longer than a minute and a half. But in my minute and a half, of course, there is another difficult Rashi in the Mishnah. That Rashi tells us that the requirement of grufa is somehow connected in Rashi Dibur Masal Ad Sheyigrof Mishum de Mosif Hevel, because you're being Mosif Hevel. So Rashi somehow connects in some way the Mosif Hevel, increased heat, with the Isser of Shehiyah. Tosas and Dibur Masal Yitin Ad Sheyigrof famously rejects Rashi and says Mosif Hevel is something that we're going to have to discuss in the sugya of Hatmana. Hatmana is Aser B'davra Mosif Hevel. But Shehiyah, what does that have to do with Mosif Hevel? That's one of Tosas' kashas in Lo Yitein Ad Sheyigrof. So many understand that Pnei Yoshua, amongst others, understand that Rashi Shita is that he has a totally different worldview. Rashi learns that Hatmana and Shehiyah are really Hainuach. They're part of the same sugya, and basically everything that we're going to discuss according in within Lahalacha of Shehiyah Nachzara is not going to make sense Aliba Shitas Rashi according to the Pnei Yoshua. If that's so then when Rashi says that Achi Itzanim, we understand, because Rashi learns that the whole Shash is Mosef Hevel, which is connected to Atmana. So Rashi says, Achi Itin is Eifer, Rashi Shita is, in order that it should cool down. But Rashi is not normative at all, because we don't assume that the halachos of Shehi are connected to halachos of Hatmana. However, you could read Rashi in a vacuum. Rav Rimon Shlita makes this point. That Rashi could be just a radical Shita, not Shayach at all to Halacha Lamaisa. One note, since I mentioned the Pnei Yoshua, has a beautiful Mahalach on this sugya. That is for sure usher to discuss in Halacha Shir. But one thing about the Pnei Yoshua, just to mention historically a fascinating piece quickly, the Pnei Yoshua is a grandson of the Meginei Shlomo. The Pnei Yoshua's Sefer is well known as generally defending Shitas Rashi. And it's a beautiful Mahalach where he defends Shitas Rashi. We have Braunschweigel, may have Refuah Shlema, would tell us that the Pnei Yoshua, actually his yeshiva emphasized halacha, and the yeshiva of Rabbi Yonis and Eibeshitz, that emphasized iyun within the Rishonim. And ironically, Pnei Yoshua wrote a sefer defending Rashi, and Rabbi Yonis and Eibeshitz, of course, is well known for his halacha sermon. So that was always something I remember that my Rebbe said. And then I saw the Hakdama of the Pnei Yoshua, which adds a little bit more and verifies what Uri Braunschweigel had said. For those who are not familiar, the Pnei Yoshua writes that his Sefer, the genesis of his Sefer was that there was a terrible fire in Poland, in Lwów or Krakow, and his daughter, one of his daughters was killed, and he was buried under the rubble with one or two others, his wife and I think a couple of other children. And at that time, he made a Bli Neder that if Hashem saves him, so then he's going to, he realized that he didn't fulfill his grandfather's wish as much as he should of continuing to defend Shitas Rashi from the other Rishonim. So at that moment he decided to write the Sefer, and hence the Sefer Pnei Yoshua. So that verifies that the Pnei Yoshua himself was Osek in something else up until then. Kanireh, like Rabbi Braunschweigel said, his yeshiva was involved with halacha. So I guess by giving an honorable reference, we're Mekayim both parts. Yeah.
Just going back a second to that, Randy saying that when we're saying the fourth one, the Rashi views them as the same, that they're coming to the same purpose, both Garf and Katam.
Everybody is going to hold that Garf the Katam is going to be Matir. We're talking now about Shehiyah, yeah, is going to be Matir Shehiyah. Right. The question is why? What is the mechanic that's being Matir it?
So Rashi saying that.
Rashi's saying what's being matter is that you have to be lowering the heat. Without lowering the heat, then that's not going to be enough. If anybody could find another Rishon that's explicit like this Rashi, I would be interested if there is other Rishon, because there is a well-known Shita amongst the Poskim that pushes in this direction as well, but not necessarily claiming that the Posek is going to be like Rashi, but we do see these two extremes. You have one extreme where all you need is a Hesach Hadas and a Heker, and you have a Rashi on the other side. Yes, Rabbi Yaakov.
Can we say also that maybe the Rambam is similar? Because in Halacha, he said, so it seems to be also a function of the heat, similar like Rashi.
Right, but there that's Betanur. That's Betanur.
Isn't it all, he's explaining why
the... He's explaining that where the heat is so intense, so then in such a case, you can't create that Hesach Hadas. In other words, the Efer is not enough to create that phenomenon. But if it's a Kira, he said in Allah Adala that that's going to be enough. Which brings us to a fascinating Machlokis HaPoskim that exists to this day. And that is the fascinating shita of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish in Lamed Zayin Yud Aleph, we'll do Ramosha shortly. Ramosha also will crunch a lot of these shitas. But the Chazon Ish in Lamed Zayin Yud Aleph is known to have had a fascinating chumrah in regards to aplech, in regards to the definition of garif v'katim. And we're going to read the Chazon Ish out of order, because the psak is clearer in Yud Aleph, in Lamed Zayin Yud Aleph, and then we will see the Chazon Ish in Tess, where the Chazon Ish attempts to prove his point. And the Chazon Ish says as follows. He says he thinks that the blechs that we have today, Chazon Ish has two major problems with our blechs today. One that we're going to discuss next week, let me just throw it out. The Chazon Ish holds, and I think it's kedai to be, I think the Shmir Shabbos also, it's not only me, I think Shmir Shabbos also holds for this. It's kedai to be aware of this. The Chazon Ish holds that our blechs, if you put it on the fire on Shabbos, in other words, you didn't put the blech on the fire before Shabbos, and you put it down, the Chazon Ish holds that you're over in Issa Daraisa Bishul Mateches. Or Mavir, one of the two. The Chazon Ish holds that it's an that you're cooking the that's one problem he has with our metal blechs. If you put it on Shabbos. Let's say you forgot to put down a blech, and you want to now, for a case of Akzara, put one down. So, and we'll discuss that in Mirtzah Hashem in detail. We're going to next time. What we're going to discuss now is the Chazon Ish's position that says another problem in metal blech. He says a metal blech is not matir shihia. Of course, not hachzara. We're still staying in the world of shihia, to just to be clear. But Chazon Ish says it doesn't take care of the world of shihia. Why? So he says very, very simply. He says, let's read Os Yidal. Shihia denol bar tsenu. You have a rack where you put down the pot. That's pashut on the fire. That's ena grufa. Here's the punchline. If you put some, you lay down a metal slab. So the Chazon Ish makes reference to halacha that we introduced ourselves in Reish Nun Gimel, Sif Gimel, and that is that we saw that there are times that if you put down an empty pot, then that's going to enough to serve enough as a blech. Says the Chazon Ish, Mikol Makom Lo Chashiv, that's not going to be considered something enough. That's going to be considered as if you're putting it mamish aloish, lamed zayin yud aleph in the Chazon Ish. That's going to be considered as if you mamish put it al ha'esh. And therefore, the Chazon Ish in the brackets, the Chazon Ish is not an easy sefer to learn. In the brackets, he writes nira in that same paragraph in yud aleph. Only a old piece of pottery. Then he goes and he says that you're going to be choshesh for cooking the matechas. That we're going to discuss later. And the Chazon Ish is of the opinion that the only thing that you could use as a blech is something that's going to diminish the heat of the fire. If it doesn't diminish the heat of the fire, so then in such a case, you haven't achieved the goal of Khatum. The goal of Khatum is to create the situation where the heat of the fire is less. Because otherwise, in such a case, he's still going to be Chote. You still have the Chash of Chitu Bigacholim. In Tess, Chazon Ish has quite a sharp proof. Turn back to Sif Khatum Tess. The Chazon Ish says the following. We won't connect it yet to the Mishnah Berurah. We'll start four lines in Oz Tess, we'll start four lines in Vihine Betur Kasav. Vihine Betur Kasav, the Al Gaba Mikri Al Sfasa, O Al Kisuish Al Chalala. Chazon Ish is not making this up, as you would expect. The Tur seems to say that putting something on top of the Kira is considered as if you put it on the fire itself. Now, what is Al Gaba? So the Chazon Ish points out that there is a Rashi on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, where Rashi says, In Dibur HaMaskel Gava, 7 lines from the bottom, Ove Sfasa O Kisui She'al Chalala. The Gemara says that to put something on top of the Kira is going to be Asur if you put it on the edge or on top of the Chalal. As we described last week, the Kira looks something like this, and you have the fire over here. So says Rashi to put it, the Gemara there has a shayla of smicha that we're going to discuss later on. What happens if there's no fire here? So to put it over here, that would be called smicha. That you are, I'm sure, in going through Shulchan Aruch, you're coming across that. So the Gemara says, Al Gaba is for sure Aser. What about the halacha of smicha? So we'll discuss in Mirtzah Hashem the right time. Rashi adds a couple words to the Gemara that the Gemara doesn't say, and the Torah seems to follow. And that is that Rashi says, even if you have a cover over here, so says the Chazon Ish, you've done absolutely nothing by putting down a piece of metal that conducts heat. You've got to put down this large piece of cheres, and if you put this large piece of cheres that clearly breaks the heat, that's fine. But metal that conducts heat, of course, is going to be problematic. This is the Chazon Ish's very strong argument from the Gemara on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. Obviously, there's room to argue that the Chazon Ish's position is going to fit more smoothly for those who hold that the role of Ketuma is to diminish the heat, like Rashi seemed to say. Again, I saw one of the Avrichim say like Rashi. It's probably not like Rashi, because Rashi is probably much more nuanced. But at the end of the day, that's why I asked you, if you could find other Rishonim that say Rashi without being as extreme as Rashi, I'd be interested in hearing it. But the Chazon Ish is going to say, Kedarko Lukosh, one of our Rabbeim, whose style very much in our generation reminds us of the Chazon Ish, Rav Schechter, is he would say it's a Gemara. It's not, you don't even need Rashi. You don't need any lamdos of being Medayik Kitin Rishonim. The Chura, it's a simple Gemara. That's the Chazon Ish's style. Bechura, at first glance, is a straightforward Gemara. I think I'm comfortable to say this publicly. I remember the first time they built the Washington Heights Erev, Rav Schechter gave a tour of the Erev. And he explained how the mechanics of the Erev. And then, after Shir, people were asking him questions. It was already privately, so I asked Rav Schechter that according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, as Rabbi Belsky and others said, one cannot make an Erev at all in all of Manhattan. So Rav Schechter says to me, can you say over the Ramesha? So I said over to him. He says, yeah, I think he writes something like that, but I don't understand it. Can you explain it to me? So I said it over again. This happened 4 times. He said, can you explain it to me? He said, after 4 times, he said, I don't understand Ramesha. He says, the Chazon Ish in Erevin is so much clearer to me than Ramesha. So anyhow, that... The Chazon Ish is working with Farish Gemaras. Rav Moshe by Erevin has a chumrah that's based on a diuk and Rashi on Davav Mebeis, and with this he redefined Erevin in a metropolis. The Chazon Ish tends to go with it. He has a Farish Gemara, the Farish Gemara this way, and that's the mahalach of the Chazon Ish. Also, with his ingenuity of how to apply the Gemaras, the Chazon Ish is amazing. Again, we're talking about giants and giants and giants. We're talking about Rav Moshe and the Chazon Ish, just in terms of that derech tov. So that's what the Chazon Ish is bringing out over here. How is one going to defend the common practice? Chazon Ish says there's no makar and halacha to what we do, but how is one going to defend common practice? So here, there is a beautiful tshuva from the Shevet Alevi that was separate, that wasn't in the booklet, where the Shevet Alevi points out that there is a basic svara. Thank you very much. There is a basic svara. If anybody needs it, it's over here. That he actually has a communication with the Chazon Ish on this topic, and in that communication with the Chazon Ish, the Shevet Alevi, after he brings it down, explains why he. The Minika Olam is to be Megal. And he says, let's start from the beginning. Shuvah read through it quickly. Aleph in Chelik Aleph in Sheva Levi Tzadi Aleph. He says, "Being Shiva Azar Denogim Kayom Shemisim in Pach Barzel." Skip a couple of lines. Ubaofin Gezen Nogim Lishos Lahachse B'Derech Hamuter Davlek Igarf Gekatan El Dariinu Lagon Chazonish V'Chein Shemati Menu Alpeh Dushadi Bein Yarga. He disagreed based on the tour that says that on top is considered mamish aloesh, especially based on Rashi. The Rashi said that if you have something on top, that's going to be awesome. Next page on Peivav, Omnam lamit zchus al Yisrael de minhagam tayri, said as a true Polish chassid, I can say this as a Polish chassid myself. The Shevet Alevi goes on. He says he wants to be defend the minhag of Klal Yisrael, and he gives a beautiful teretz. First word on the line is Kira. In Dibra Masvel Omnam, he says as follows. The Hasam hu hakisui haragil shemisimin alav b'chol yom, kimivur b'shas. The regilim hayi l'chasus hakira b'kisui kimo kedera. He said, in those days, it was common. You put on the Kira, you would put something on top. So then, in such a case, that's when Rashi and the Torah say that it's not going to work. But if you put Kedera Reikonis, so then in such a case, then it's going to be mutter. And the Hagos Mordechi and others, the Chazon Ish is aware of this Hagos Mordechi, he rejects it. He explains why it's the incorrect usage of the Hagos Mordechi. But they and others say that if you take something that's not normally put on the Kira, then in such a case, that would serve as an appropriate katum, and hence the machlokis that rages to this day. I believe Reb Chaim Kanievsky Shlita does not have a blech the way most people have a blech. He does not have that. The only thing that most in Bnei Brak will use is something that would be quite thick, that would be diminish the heat, because otherwise they say you've done absolutely nothing. It's a zero. It's a total zero. Okay. How are we going to defend the Chazon Ish from the Shevet HaLevi? Rav Karp, in Hilchos Shabbos V'Shabbos, is aware, wants to point out, that the Chazon Ish was aware of the Shevet HaLevi's teretz. In other words, the Shevet HaLevi has a very sharp teretz. The Shevet HaLevi's teretz, it almost makes the Chazon Ish, quote-unquote, sound silly. So in this regard, we'll try to do a little bit of iyun as crunch the machlokis, try to really get at what the nekudas machlokis is. Chazon Ish says, you haven't diminished the heat. Says the Shevet HaLevi, you don't need to diminish the heat. Where did the Chazon Ish say you need to get diminished the heat from? He said that from the fact that Rashi had that case in which you had the thing on the top, and it was still aser, so diminishing the heat is obviously necessary. Comes along Shevet HaLevi, he says, there, that was the normal way that they did. They put something on top. They didn't want the food to fall in, so then in such a case, they put something on top. But if you put something that's not normal, so let's just finish off what the Shevet HaLevi is saying. If you put something that's not normal, so then you're not going to have the Chashash Hashem Yichat V'Chom, because what's the whole point? It's to remind you not to do Chitui. And that fits in, if you would connect it to the Machlokas Rishonim, it fits in beautifully within the sheet is a Rajba. That will fit in beautifully within the Rajba that says that it's going to be there for the Heker. So Rav Karp, in page Kuf Tzadites, in Hilchos Shabbos B'Shabbos, suggests that there is a more fundamental issue, a brisker mahalach, if you will, in the machlokis between the Chazon Ish and many others. And that is, he suggests that the Chazon Ish would respond to the Shevet HaLevi. He doesn't quote the Shevet HaLevi by name. He just starts out, V'hine har behikshel Chazon Ish. There are many who question the Chazon Ish, that there's a basic difference between the case of that Rashi and the case of a blech. And he says, U'muchruch mizeh. The Chazon Ish understood from this Rashi, D'kol shelo osa maise b'guf ha'esh, ein zeh nechshev l'ktuma. That if you don't do a maisa on the guf ha'esh, in other words, you haven't done something to the esh to diminish its fire, then in such a case, that is not going to be considered katum. That does not qualify as katum. So, ein achanami, even if it's not the derech to put on the esh, if you haven't done a maisa to the esh to diminish its fire, so then in such a case, that's not going to be katum. What was the katum in the Mishnah? Katum in the Mishnah was the efer. You put the efer mamish on the fire. But anything that you're just going to create artificially that's not the derech, that's not going to be enough to be matter. So Rav Karp tries to get to a nekudas hamachlokis between the Chazon Ish and, if you will, the Shevet HaLevi, or for that matter, many others. I just want to point out that the Be'er Halach in the beginning of Siman Reish Nun Gimel fits in beautifully to all of this discussion. And Ulai V'Ulai, I didn't see anybody say this, but Ulai V'Ulai, we could even say Shtikl Torah. I'm not sure. I only thought of the Shtikl Torah this morning, so it's definitely not thought through ad asof. But this Be'er Halach is definitely relevant, even if the Shtikl Torah, the Avrichim, will show me where I've erred. But I think the Be'er Halach and Dibar Masel Litein Allah fits in beautifully to this entire discussion. The Mechaber, of course, in the beginning of the Siman, tells us, also Litein Allah Tashlum Avod Yom, if you have some that's Husku Begefes, Obe'etzim. Says the Be'er Halach, Hainu Algav Hakira. V'gaba Nikri Ofe Dofnos Hakira. V'kol Shekein Negeh Chalal Hakira Milamala. Says the Be'er Halach, of course, right above the Kira will always be Aser. V'afilu imi mechusa b'ksuyo maimida al kisui. And even if you put something on top. And what does he quote? He quotes this Rashi. Kein kosfu Rashi. B'daf lam b'zayin v'atur. Ach mi divrei harambam. Ooh, this is mesameach. Ach mi divrei harambam. But what's the shita's harambam? The Be'er Halacha speculates. This is the first Be'er Halacha in the Siman. Ach mi divrei harambam shekosav ein mashin os al gabi eish b'shabiz. The Rambam says al gabi eish that the iser is on top of the fire. Mashma lechoira dal gabi kisui ein bechlal al gaba dal gabi kisui. That's not called al gaba. From the Rambam is mashma that has to be sitting right on top of the fire itself. De'ershedu kimoshim kisei lechalim be'efer. But what happens if you have a dover, a hefsek between the fire and the pot? Then in such a case, amrina mistama shuli siach taitim menu v'lasa lechduyei. Then in such a case, he thinks it's fine. Then the Be'er Halacha asks a kash on himself, that there seems to be another Rambam that seems to be machmir, and he leaves off the way I'm leaving off with you, and that is, adayin sarachiyun b'dayto. He leaves off that he's not sure about what Shitas Rambam is. Ooh, ah, this is misameach. Maybe, ulai v'ulai, lahagdil toru ladira, we could suggest that the Rambam and Rashi are l'shitasam. Rashi, who seems to say that it comes to Khatum, that the halacha is that you need something that is going to break the heat. So then Rashi al-Pishitaso is going to say that Al-Gaba is going to be a problem. But according to the Rambam in Halacha Dalid, who says, what's the role of Ketuma? The only thing that's doing is to make sure that you're Misiyach Das. So then if you got something on top of it, it's going to remind you to be Misiyach Das. And that's going to be enough. Ulai v'ulai, Rambam, Rashi, Shita. So in the Shitas HaRambam that the Be'er Halacha starts out, that seems to be against Shitas Rashi. So everything works out very, very nicely. And so it comes out that the Be'er Halacha himself was mesupak about this, about the Chazon Ish's argument, B'das Rashi, based on the Torah. The Chazon Ish is aware that he didn't find China, that the Be'er Halacha already had raised this. The question is, I'm not discussing this with you now, if you take a look at the Mishnah Berurah of Ketan Pei Aleph, where the Mishnah Berurah himself falls, it could be that he there in Sif Ketan Pei Aleph, he seems to be closer to the Minhag HaOlam that we had said about putting something on top of the fire. Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, Halacha L'maisa, Paskins that one can put something on that is like a kisui, that he doesn't mention that there is a requirement that it diminish the fire. Mari Rabbi Remensal Shlita mentions the Chazon Ish in as an honorary reference, but at the end of the day, what emerges is that the Shita of the Chazon Ish is not one that's followed. By the way, when Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa describes what you put on the fire, I couldn't figure out what that word was. Asbest. Asbest, did you notice that? So I looked it up, and it's asbestos. That's what asbest is. It's asbestos. Pardon the American that hasn't fully adjusted. I guess also the other reason I couldn't imagine is asbestos because we've been trained in New York that asbestos are very, very dangerous, and to put asbestos on the fire. So then in such a case, what is asbestos? I know it's the stuff that's very dangerous that they take out of the apartments that has cancer, so that's inside of walls. They used on top of a fire. Even the new Shmir Shabbos Kilton said you can't change a Masorah. I think he still uses that term, asbest. But it seems to me that the asbest doesn't prevent it entirely. And it seems that most, if you take a look, I photocopied how Rav Nemtzal presents the Sheet of the Chazon Ish in the back of the booklet. And that's in regard to that Sheet. Another important diyun that we're going to see through the Ards of Rav Moshe Feinstein is, yes.
I don't know if you want to get too far.
Sure.
But if it's normal to put a covering, then even for the Rambam, how would he make Seif Das?
Correct. No, the answer is that the covering is not a normal covering, even according to a Rambam.
You have to say that it's not normal.
Correct. Everybody, Lekulei Alma. Lekulei Alma. The question was, the answer to the Chazon Ish was it's obvious that in that case it was normal, and the case of Agos Mordechi, it's not normal. So then in such a case, then how could the Chazon Ish come to such a radical conclusion that you have to diminish the heat? That was the question. So comes along the Rav Karp, and he says, no, what the Chazon Ish is driving at is something more than that. And that is that if you're not going to make a change in the fire itself, like Afer, so then in such a case, then that's going to be a problem. And therefore, the case of Kisui shows us that you haven't made alter the state of the fire itself, then that's not going to qualify as Katum. That's what we're adding from it. Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't get, maybe it's the point the Rebbe just said, but I still don't get where the Chazon Ish gets, and maybe it's based off Rashi that I don't really also get,
okay.
That it's diminishing the heat. Meaning, even if from the Rashi on Lamed Zion, it's usher, but Rashi doesn't say it's because of...
Right.
The Torah doesn't,
well, well you're right. What Rav Karp is saying is not Mefurish anywhere. I agree.
But even the way we're... Meaning, I just don't get where we even see the concept of that you need to be diminishing the heat from Gar Vatav.
In Rashi, you had Letzanino. So you got to be doing something inherent to the source of heat. Now, there's another very famous issue, and that is, what exactly do you need to do for Kotum Bizman Hazeh? Once upon a time, what Ketumah did was, did two things at once. It addressed the fire. It was on top of the fire. And also, by doing that, you remove the chshash Hashem yichata b'gacholim, because the source of where you'll be mechata had the afer on top of it. Of course, there's a fascinating question today. And that question is, where you have two separate outlets, if you will. What I mean by outlets is you've got the fire, and then you have the knobs that are used to stoke the fire. And as you well know, that's a big diyun about what one needs to do when covering it in terms of ketumah. I'd like to share with you how Rav Moshe developed it, where he brings together so many of the things that we've discussed, where Rav Moshe and Chelek Al Simin Sadi Gimel brings together many of the variables that we discussed, and Paskins on the Shaila, and ultimately we'll share the dissenting views as well. Rav Moshe begins by discussing, so we're going to also be discussing a halacha l'maisa shayla. Rav Moshe discusses a gas oven. And Rav Moshe tells us, we're going to discuss ovens by itself in a vacuum, but already we'll get to Rav Moshe's hanacha, and then how he connects this to the machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam, and finally, then where he defines the what is ketumah, which ultimately was Rav Moshe's ketumah. This is a tshuva that was written very early on. Tovshin Yudalef, but Kedarko B'Kodesh. Rav Moshe stays with his position throughout the years. You'll hardly ever find Rav Moshe changing his mind. So you're going to see Rav Moshe stay with this thread throughout even his later tshuvas. So Rav Moshe says, "Bidvar Tanur Hagashe B'Mdina Seinu." So when it comes to an oven, so An oven is a big discussion whether it has a din kira bizman hazeh or it doesn't. We've learned that the halacha is that a tanur is more chomer than kira. However, Ramesha assumes that we could be more makil in our tanurim, which is based on a Ramah. Again, if you don't know why, that's fine, because we'll discuss that down the line. He says, Sha'olam noagin heter lahashos, shenistapkos em yeshlan din kira o tanur. So the minhag ha'olam is to treat it like a kira. To treat it like a kira, that means to do grufa uktuma, as the Be'er Halacha paskin for us last week. Ramosha is going to assume that you do need some level of grufa ktuma, but it's going to have a din kira. So that's all we need in regards to understanding tanur. We can now basically forget about the fact that it's a tanur. We're assuming that it's a kira that has a requirement of grufa ktuma. So then, Ramosha then says, let's put it through the discussion of the Rambam and the Rajba that we had previously. Yes?
He's speaking specifically about the top of the stove top?
No, we're talking about inside the oven. Again, we're not passing halacha lemaisa now in terms of ovens. We're going to get to that. Well, next week we're going to do a plata. Probably next week, Thursday, we'll discuss ovens. But
right now, he's talking about inside.
Imamish inside, but don't paskin based on this, okay? We're just using this as a dugma, okay? So here he points out that the Rambam, two lines from the bottom in the first paragraph, the Rambam says EF shaligrof kola esh the EF shelo tishar nitzotz achad ubetanur shavolocham yesh lochlush lechitui. That the Rambam says that when it comes to tanur, the reason why we have to be choshesh for chidui is that even if you removed most of the fire, nevertheless there is going to be a little bit that's left. And here Ramosha says an important yisod. Yisod aleph. V'im ken. In the first paragraph. Second paragraph. First on the second column in Kuf Nun aleph. Hu shayach rak bitanur shederech habishul vafiyu har beipomim biktima ugrifa v'leka ekeira b'mashagore fikotim shein daito lachtos. Aval l'tanur egaz she'ein aderech klal levashui bikisui pach matachos ein lecha heker godol mizeh. If you put down, says Ramosha, a blech, so then in such a case you don't have to have a chashash chitui. So notice what Ramosha is doing over here. Like many poskim, Ramosha is saying that the chashash chitui is being removed, aliba de Rambam, we're going to use the Rambam a lot, by simply creating a heker. Once you've created this heker, so then in such a case, it reminds you not to be mechate. You're now going to be mesiach das. That's going to be enough to create the being mesiach das. He then asks on himself, but what about Shitas Rashi? What about Shitas Rashi who says that you have to be mitzaneh? So then Ramosha concludes, all right, Rabbo said, we don't paskin like this Rashi. He concludes that paragraph of Ach, and he says, Ayin bebeis Yosef Simon Reishon Gimel b'darkei Moshe Sham v'savri dekira ktumba hi mosefes hevel umikol makom muter b'shiya mitzara kera shein daito lachtos. So Ramesha concludes that we paskin against that Rashi, and then again, so Ramesha is now in the camp of the Shevet Alevi in the standard minog that we have, and that is that by simply creating a heker, that's going to be enough. He's mefalpel. He's not sure Rashi is going to be so mafnir, but at the end of the day, he says that's going to be Rashi's shita. Okay. Now, based on this, Ramosha says as follows. What exactly is the chash of Shemi Yichate? The chash of Shemi Yichate is that you're going to come and you're going to stoke the coals that are inside. Says Ramosha, a beautiful point. Bikashu v'gvava it's mutter. Why? Because kash you can't stoke. The only thing you could stoke are coals. Kash you can't stoke. Why aren't we choshesh, says Ramosha, that you're going to bring more kash? The answer is that Chazal never made that zero. So Ramosha says very sharply. He says, mi'ikr d'dina, you only have to be choshesh on stoking that gas. But then you're going to bring in other gas that you don't have to be choshesh. Vihine, go to the next paragraph in Kuf Nun Beis. Vihine, yesh tam gadol lomar delo shayach klal agzer betanur agaz shelanu. The chazina rak shelo yichate begachon gazru v'lo l'shema yavi od etzim kishech lehaesh. And therefore, says Ramosha, as long as you've taken care of creating the heker, you don't have to be choshesh for anything from the outside. Ulefiza, and therefore Moshe concludes that Shaila, Afdalo Kiso in page Kufnun Beis, paragraph that begins Ulefiza, Afdalo Kiso Gamala Kaftorim Shayoda Maktim Magdilim, El Shechase Raka Eslish Levad, Nami Yesh Efshe Yesh Lahatir, the Gambi Kiso Elevash Levad who Heker Godol, Shein Daito Lachdos Lahagdil Hesh Yoser, Ukemoshin Ogin Harbe. So Ramosha says that Meikur Dedina, all you need is that Heker. And we don't see that you have to be concerned for the outside source. Now, you could argue with Ramosha very simply and say, Ramosha, that's in regards to Kash and Gvava, that you have to schlep it from somewhere else. But over here, this is the way you stoke the coals. Nowadays, how do you stoke the coals? You do it by turning up the gas. So it's quite a chiddush. It's quite a chiddush that Ramosha is saying. And correctly so. Rav Eider brings down Rav Aaron Kotler Zatzal, who disagreed. And the Rav Aaron said that not only is a requirement to... Rav Aaron said that the primary requirement is to cover the knobs and not to cover the fire. Because even though Rav Moshe technically is right that the gzera was made on that which is in front of you, but at the same time, that was a totally different mitzvah. Rav Moshe is going to say back, you're right. I'm not saying you don't have to do Garva Katam. I'm just saying, the way you do Garva Katam is the way they used to do Garva Katam. What's the way they used to do Garva Katam? A hecker! Here you have the hecker, and once you have this hecker, you're not going to be concerned. Shem yichate b'gacholim. Reb Shlomo Zalman Zatzal was also privy to Reb Moshe's position. Reb Shlomo Zalman felt that mi'ikur d'dina, by covering, that would be the primary thing, because the main thing is to create that heker. However, at the end of the day, one should lechatchila definitely cover the knob. So this Rav Moshe brings together a lot of different things. He brings in the Rambam and Rashi. He extends it into a Tanur as well. And then Rav Moshe paskins that meikur d'dina, the ikur is creating that heker, as we saw b'das Rambam. Once the heker is And many others, of course. Once that's created, then that's going to be enough. Rav Moshe himself concludes in Dibur HaMaskul Lefi Zeh, Ach Yoser Tov Shakisu Shalpach Matech Zichas Gam Atah Kaftorim. However, that one should be sure to have Lechatchila both being covered. According to, Rabbi Eider quotes, or Rav Aaron Kotler Zatzal felt that Meikur Dedina, that by simply covering the knobs, that would really take care of the major chash. The minhag ha'olam is to do both, and I would encourage that one to do both. If one only has metal to cover the fire, assuming that one does not follow the psukim and the chazon ish, Rav Rimon and others point out that by taping down the knobs, that would also serve the purpose as well. So for whatever reason, you weren't able to buy a blech that's L-shaped, that goes over the knobs on the fire, so by taping down the knobs, that will also... that also will be effective. Okay. And in Rav Nevensal's words, let's just see Rav Nevensal's words, and then I saw a few hands over there. Bikira Gaz, it's the Yitzchak Ikari in the last page on the booklet. Nagu Shekisu Eish Bepach Machshil Nekira Grufil Duma. Yesh makbid in the chasus gam etakaftorim. So Rav Nevensal presents Rav Moshe as being makbid, as requiring, but that was only as a chumra. The admar zalu hitzrich lezeh, avul hitzrich. Okay, but Rav Shlomo Zalman was not makbid for this. He's quoting from an interesting sefer that we're going to quote from, which has a lot of letters from Rav Shlomo Zalman. Next week, we'll photocopy a few of those letters from Shlomo Zalman in terms of halacha lemaisa, but that's the bottom line. It's clear to me that one should do both. It's clear to me that one should do both. Ramosha is right, the Meikra Dedina, the original Gzeira was to cover the fire, but at the same time, it's obvious that today, the Chashash Chitui is on the knobs, that one should cover the knobs. I'd be a little uncomfortable if someone would say, and you know how much I love Reb Shlomo Zalman, I would be uncomfortable if someone would say that Reb Shlomo Zalman was meikel about covering knobs, therefore one can lechatchila be meikel. Because at the end of the day, the chashash chitui really starts today from the knobs itself. It would seem to be hard to stay in the past, that the chashash being simply the hacker, it seems to me that for sure lechatchila one should try to do it. Yes? Yeah, I prefer not to discuss too much about detailed ovens because we are going to get the. But go ahead.
So where is the oven exactly that's helping you? Isn't the fire? I don't
know. So it was right.
It was the fire that you see.
Right. So you don't fire, but you then put another slab on the bottom to, and that creates.
That's not where you cook. Meaning cooking on top usually is more.
You're cooking on the. We're not talking about the time of the Gemara, the time of the Rishon where they cooked on, we put on top. You're saying you put on a rack,
yeah.
Right? So by putting on the bottom, then that's you see the bottom also. I hear what you're asking, but it would seem to me it's on the bottom where the heat source is coming out. That's what it seems that Ramosh is assuming. Okay, two more points, and with that, the Siyata Dishmaya will be ready to begin the Halachos of Hakzara, and that will take us, of course, to the big hack about a plata, etc., etc. Yeah.
I just don't, meaning according to your motion, what are you actually doing when you put that slab of heat, meaning just...
The slab of metal. Yeah. What you're doing is you're reminding yourself that this ain't a regular day. That's what you're doing. It's not a regular day. And if it's not a regular day, then you don't, then we don't do chitui. That's,
I won't that's touch the knobs. Meaning he knows
right.
That it's with the knobs.
Nachon. So. Nachon. Yeah. Nachon. That's, that, I feel like what you're suggesting as well. That for that reason, I find it hard. Look, I think Meikra Dedina, Rav Aaron Cutler felt you could put the fire. It sounds that also sounds strange. Rav Aaron Cutler felt you could put the pot directly on the fire itself and only cover the knobs. That's walking into a house that emotionally looks not Shabbos thing, but that what Rav Aaron was alarmed in. So yeah.
But ultimately, isn't the oven door closed?
Right.
So wouldn't that serve...
Well, when you open it up, you're going to remember that... Oh, very good. So this is another heter there. There's one more heter there. What will the door serve?
As the heter to that...
Okay, but normally, when you normally open up a door, so then that's Nora. How is that going to serve as that door? But I want to take what you said and add a little bit more, and then maybe we could build what you said. There is another point that... Of all people, the Chazon Ish has a massive kula. I don't know how practical it is, but we should mention it. And that is, in Reish Nun Dalet Aleph, there is a machlokis between the Mechaber and the Ramah about the case of Tanur Sheitiach Betit. What happens if you have an oven? This is what I thought a little bit you were referring to, Rabbi Yehuda. And that is, you have a tanur that has been covered with teat. Teat is going to block your ability to do something it's instinctive on the oven. And what you're going to have to do is break the teat. This is interesting in terms of the halachas of breaking things and tearing things on Shabbos. It's the poskim, the Gemara already, and the Rishonim assumed it's not going to be a problem to tear off the teat. But the moment in which you have to do something to get to the tanur, that's going to remind you that it's Shabbos. And the Ramah, in Reish Nun Dalet, as explained by the Mishnah Berurah, paskins that in all instances that would work. It's actually a complicated Ramah. Look at it with the Mishnah Berurah. The Mechaber says it's only going to work for those foods that anyhow exposing it to more air is going to be worse for the food. So that also is going to discourage you from being for breaking the tit and being chote b'gachal. But according to the Ramah, the tit itself, bottom line, crunch, according to the Ramah, putting tit is enough of a heker on the oven door. So when Yehuda said that about the door, so then that brought us to the next point that was on our sheets. And that is that the Chazon Ish, in the photocopies, it's the first page of the Chazon Ish, the last page of the Chazon Ish, in Lamed Ches Beis, in Dibra Maskel V'Hilkach, in a reference, it's not explicit, but in a reference, the Chazon Ish says that if you put Tit on top of a Kira or something like that, so then in such a case, then that would be matter entirely and you wouldn't have any chash of Chitui Gacholim. So what was the suggestion at the time of the Chazon Ish? The suggestion was to put a combination lock. If you put a combination lock, by the time it takes to remind yourself to how practical that is, to put it on a, maybe oven door, maybe it's a... we're talking now actually, yeah, it's a Tanner as well. Then in such a case, Shehiyah would be Mutter. And there's one more point, the Chazon Ish is Marviach. And that is, remember we learned that Garif HaKatam is Matir only from Michael Ben Drusai. Prior to Michael Ben Drusai, it's not Matir. If it's Tuach Batit, then it's Matir Lagamri, even less than Michael Ben Drusai. This point, Rav Rimon spells out beautifully. If anybody has a sefer, I could give you the page. I didn't photocopy it, but that's what emerges from this Chazon Ish. So there are actually two things that we learn from taping things down. One is that taping things down itself might be a requirement, and then another discussion, that it could be that by taping down the knobs, there's room to argue that in such a case, you'd be able to be matir even less than Michael Ben Drusai, because it would be considered as if it's tuach betit. So that would be a machlokas between the Mechaber and Ramah. Rav Rimon Shlita takes this seriously. The advantage of is he took the biggest machmer, the Chazon Ish, and he found an Eitzah, even according to the Chazon Ish itself, and that would be matir even Shehiyah, even less than Michael Ben Drusai. I did not get to speak to Rav Nevenzal today. In terms of whether one could rely on that halach lemaisa, I'd like to ask my Rebbe that question, so we leave that off. But it's a brilliant point that Rav Rimon makes. Either way, to be aware that there's one more matir of taking away the chashash Hashem Yechata, and that is to be tuach betit. And if you go with the Ramah, so then in such a case it could be, it will be matir even some that's less than Michael Ben Drusai, and that would be different than any other case of Shehiyah where we're matir from Michael Ben Drusai and on with Garif HaKatan.
So where is that in
the Chazon Ish is Lamed Ches Beis Dibra Masvel V'Hilkach. Lamed Ches Beis Dibra Masvel V'Hilkach. Finally, Rabbi Tzion, you had something?
No, I just wanted to clarify if Tuach Betit is even less. It's even less than Machmen Rusai.
Right, it will be Munter. Right.
Why?
Because there's a built-in. Yeah, that's such a powerful thing. In other words, Garif HaKatan is one thing. You put a little Eifer. This is Mamish. Ain Hecker Yosem Izeh. You created Fort Knox on it. So then in such a case, that would be enough. Even to be Matar Echman Esai. That would be something to be Mefalpil in the base medrash about. One thing that doesn't require Pilpil in the base medrash that's very, very clear is something that Rav Nevenzal Shlita mentions that appears in Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa in Perek Aleph Ha'oren Undalet in Kuf Pei He. And that is that Rav Shlomo Zalman made a very sharp point about Garif HaKatan, which many people are not aware of or careful about. And Lania's Daiti, it's a brilliant point by Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal. And that is that when it comes to Garif HaKatan, it can't be a joke. It has to be a serious Garif HaKatan. Maybe, Rebensi, you don't need Fort Knox, you don't need Tuach Betit, but it's got to be a serious Garif HaKatan. What do I mean by something that's a serious Garif HaKatan versus not a serious Garif HaKatan? So says Rav Shlomo Zalman, someone who puts down a blech, okay, and he then continues to adjust the knobs afterwards, he says, what type of Garif HaKatan is that? If you're constantly doing it. So therefore, Rabosai, whenever you need to do Garif HaKatan, eventually we're going to discuss a crock pot as well, or whatever item it's going to be that you're doing Garif HaKatan on, you should not adjust, do chitui after you've put it on. So if you know that you're going to still adjust the settings of whatever it might be, you should only adjust the settings prior to placing the Garif HaKatan. Once, whatever your Garif HaKatan is, whether you're in Bnei Brak or somewhere else, at the end of the day, whatever your Garif HaKatan is, what you should do is do it, do all the adjusting beforehand, because otherwise, then you're undermining the entire Shem Yichat HaBegachal. That's a very sharp point from Shlomo Zalman. I didn't see anybody who disagrees with it. On the other hand, I didn't see Sifrei Kadmonim that make that point. It's interesting. It's the first place it appears is in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, which is extremely late in terms of halacha, but it seems to me to be a very valid point. Okay. Oh, finally, one last point from... Wow, a lot of Reb Shlomo Zalman today. One last point from Shlomo Zalman. In the Sefer that I said that quotes a lot of his letters, Ma'ar Shabbos, Amid, Tof Reish Tezayin, I had in mind to photocopy, but I forgot. Reb Shlomo Zalman discusses whether silver foil serves as a grufa uktuma. So, what would you say? According to the Chazon Ish, it's a davar pashut, right? The silver foil doesn't diminish the heat. But here, even Reb Shlomo Zalman Zetzal was machmir. He says, since it's not obvious why you're putting down the silver foil, that a lot of times the silver foil is put down for cleanliness, so then in such a case, that would not be acceptable. If we could jump ahead for the halacha lemaisa, there are times that Rav Nevin Zal Shlita requires a blech on top of a hot plate. And I asked him whether silver foil would be enough before I had seen this letter from Reb Shlomo Zalman, and he said no. So now I know why he said no. Because Reb Shlomo Zalman said that when a person puts down foil on top of a heat source, they might not be putting down the foil for any reason except for cleanliness. In fact, if you go downstairs in the cafeteria, They have a hot plate. That hot plate has foil on it. So obviously that doesn't serve as much of a hecker. Why do they do that? Because of all the spills and so on and so forth. So hence Reb Shlomo Zalman in a letter said that foil would not be enough. Reb Shlomo Zalman is meduyak in his lashon. He says a thin foil would not be enough. Niyar kesef. There are thicker forms of aluminum, so that yeshel falpel, whether that would be enough. And therefore, when we're going to discuss that according to some opinions, not according to all, to this day there are different customs, on a hot plate, Rav Zal told me that a silver foil would not be acceptable form of grufa uktuma. It would have to be something more serious than that. Yes, Rav Yehuda.
But isn't cooking on a hot plate itself a hecker? Because most people...
So that's the that's next. That's not super. It's Hashem. Whether a hot plate requires anything at all. Happens to be there are Nevin Sal's machmir on that, and therefore he said that that was the best example I was able to come up with. I was trying to go through the whole shiur without mentioning the word hot plate. I managed for an hour and 15 minutes. Okay. Mirtz Hashem. Mirtz Hashem. I have to apologize in advance. I still didn't have minchas, so it's going to be like I'm just able to answer a couple of questions.